Let's do this again. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. So Pentecost Sunday, you need to wear something red. So red shirt, red pants, something. I have this wild red Magnum PI Hawaiian shirt. And I'm going to wear it. And my wife doesn't like me to wear it because it embarrasses her. But it is a lot of fun. But we do. We want to celebrate, I believe, the third greatest holiday this world's ever received. And the first one is obviously is Easter with Christmas. But Pentecost Sunday is something we sometimes overlook because it is the very, very gift that God gives us right after he rose from the dead. And it's the very gift that hangs with us and establishes the church today. So we need to celebrate. But also I want to recognize that I have my beautiful wife. She's back there. I don't know if you ever noticed that new visitor back there, but that's my wife, Cynthia. She's up here for a little bit. We both, you know, COVID is not a fun thing to go through on a vacation, but we're working it out. But there's one prayer request that I do want to pray this morning. And does anybody know Jim Thurman? Well, Jim Thurman, I was called by the family a couple, 3 days ago. He is now at Denali Healthcare, at Denali Rest Home, and he's in hospice care, and they believe that he's not going to live within this week. So let's pray for Jim and his family. Father, again, we thank you so much in the time in which life ends, and we're in that situation, we're about to step into glory. Father, you have prepared the way for us. You've given us peace and hope through the hope and promise of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I know that Jim truly embraces this. I pray for the family as they prepare themselves to allow Jim to go and be a part of your kingdom in heaven. But Father, we also know that they need strength through this time of grieving. So we pray for strength, peace. We pray for Jim to ready his heart. And if it's your will, God, make this a quick delivery, a quick transition. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. We can see I have some little residual from my COVID and my throat, but I'm healthy. I'm feeling great and all that. Well, I want you to know that Cynthia and I, we have been praying about and we are planning for a new home. My youngest son, this week is moving out of the house of home. He's going to establish his own home someplace else. And Cynthia and I has been praying about this day and what should we be doing. And we are going to downsize, and we've been thinking and praying about what does this new home look like. You know, and we have some great ideas. And one of the things that we're thinking about doing is I'm thinking about building this home myself. Now you go, oh, Pastor Peter. Yeah, it's a simple home. It's just a ranch style, a two-bedroom with a basement. But see, I have this really great friend who's a contractor. And him and I have been thinking about it and making plans for it. And he's really excited about helping me to put together this home. Now, the reason why I say this is because today we're looking at the culmination of all the sermons we had in the last month. And as you know, there is this amazing story we heard earlier. It's a beautiful plan, but today we're going to be looking at the end product, you know, God's home, new home for his Christian or his believers, his sons and daughters. So what we're looking at in Acts is all the things that God has done at the very beginning to very throughout creation. He now, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, has established this new home, this amazing home called the church. This is the place where he wants his children to be. This is the home. And we have to go back a little bit because God always, always had a home in mind for us. The reason why he created this earth is for us to have a home, to be a part of his creation, to be a part of his great purpose in this world, and that was our home. But as you know, that sin came in and we were thrown out of that. And God, as we are understanding the Trinity and the gospel of Jesus Christ, God has prepared us and preordained the opportunity where everything's going to come together, and now we're going to have this new home. Now, our glorified home is going to happen when we pass away. That is our ending place. But right now, God has a home for us on this earth right now, and that God has chosen us to be in that home. And the church of Jesus Christ is that home. So we've been looking at this for the last 4 weeks. And as we started the sermon series, we know that many, many Christians have a very difficult time in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, they have done research on it, and they said that mostly about 75% of people in a church, when you ask them, well, if a believer, a non-believer, was going to ask you, explain to me the gospel of Jesus Christ, how would you go about it? And most of them are sitting there just dumbfounded because they live the gospel. Remember, they live the gospel every day. They're baptized by the Holy Spirit. We're filled. We're empowered. God speaks to us, and we live it, and we breathe it. But a lot of times, we don't know how to explain it to someone else. So the series of sermons is helping us to know how can we explain the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to a non-believer. And it's very, very important, and it's not super difficult. You know, looking at the gospel, as we looked at the sermon series, we're trying to look at it in a way that it's very simple, very helpful, so when we are in a position of sharing the good news, that at least we have some tools, we have some confidence. And what we did is we put together the sermon series, and what we've learned, and that we're going to go ahead and bring this out here in a minute, we're going to look at this bookmark, and this is a gift, and we're going to be looking at it, and I pray that everyone has one. If you don't, we'll make sure you get one. But let's go to the culmination of this sermon series, as well as God's beautiful plan for us and the new home. And it's amazing. We just found out that the Christian church people were baptized by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, and now they are making such a huge, dynamic, powerful, word in the community. And people are listening to their language in their tongues. They're recognizing these Christians, these believers, something is different. Suddenly, Peter stands up, and he's able to preach to all the leaders, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then what we find right afterwards is we have this beautiful picture of God's church, his family. And normally, this is sort of the blueprint. This is the blueprint that we normally use when it comes to understanding a healthy church. So I'm going to read it back to you. So, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Very important, because what God has done for us in our family, in our new home, has provided with people who have a call to teach and to lead others. You know, an apostle, as what was very distinctive back there, but eventually what the apostles did and what God did is was able to teach other leaders who became elders of the church, and the elders are the one that continues the teachings of Jesus Christ. And they're called, they are trained, they are people who are mature, who love the Lord, who love worship, and these people rise up from the church and they become the leaders and teachers that help us to grow in our faith as Christians, as our discipleship. So important to understand, one of the most important things is we need Christian leaders who are mature, who are healthy, who love God's word, who knows God's word, and also loves God's worship, love worshiping God. So I want to stop here for a second because I believe that some of you, one day, if not already, have called you to become a ruling elder. And I want you to know this is a beautiful privilege to be called to be a servant of God in the church itself. God calls us to be an elder, a ruling elder, very wonderful responsibility, but also a very wonderful, wonderful privilege. So we've been talking about this for the last month and a half. If you know anybody that you believe would make a great elder, pray about it. And what we want you to do is we want you to come up either up to me and let me know, or Keith Knorr, but let us know, and we'll put that person with the nominee committee so they can pray about it. But I want you to know that being called as an elder is one of the highest gifts that I've ever received as a person. And I just want you to know that there are people right now God is in the process of preparing your heart that one day you'll be called as an elder too. So definitely prayerfully consider it. Don't think it as something that's a hardship. As a matter of fact, if you do, probably it's not a good thing to be an elder. But think of it as something privileged and special that God has given to you. And then the next part is a fellowship. See, God loves fellowship. I mean, that's the reason why he created us, is to have the fellowship between us and God. And also God created a community and family so that we can have fellowship with each other. That is a gift, okay? Now, there's a word that's used in here that's very important. Fellowship has to do with about koinonia fellowship. It's a unique Greek word. And it means a type of fellowship where we can pull off our peanut shells and we get together and we start looking like peanut butter. And that means is that we take time with each other and friendships and relationships and senior classes. We get to know people. We become vulnerable. We allow ourselves to grow with them. We allow ourselves to be sensitive to their needs. And as that happens, we have fellowship. I cannot imagine not having fellowship with my brothers and sisters. It is the very gift through all my life, no matter what circumstances that I've been, the fellowship of brothers and sisters have been a beautiful God representation of his presence in my life. And God does that. The breaking of the bread and prayers. Breaking of the bread here, people kind of, scholars think about, you know, what this means, but I just take it as communion. Communion is so important. You know, the Lord's table, it's powerful, it's sacred, it's holy. It's God's way of reminding us that he is here and alive, and we need to continually do that because it's a blessing to us, but also prayers. So I love when we pray. But you know, what I love about First Presbyterian Church, you have something very unique, this church. First of all, you like fellowship. When we have passing the peace, you know, getting together, connecting is beautiful, and it's something I encourage you to do more and more. And if it takes 4 or 5 minutes, so what? We're encouraging, we're having fellowship. And many, many churches, you need to know, does not do that. They do not do that. They don't have that time of passing the peace and connecting with each other. It's a big, beautiful gift, as well as prayer time. Prayer is vital to who we are as individuals, but as well as a family. We need to hear each other's prayers, our concerns, our joys. We need to pray for them continually. That is a gift. And this is what happened. An awe, a phenomenal word, came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Awe. Crazy awe. You know, and it became the many wonders and centers. Now, what is awe, what is miraculous, and what is wonders and signs is people who were not Christians, who were non-believers, now have been infused into the kingdom of God, baptized by the Holy Spirit, living this God life that has transformed them and continue to transform. That is a miracle. That is a miracle. And it happens every day, which God invites someone to be a part of his family, becomes a part of the kingdom of God. They're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now they're alive, spiritual life. Now they're contributing to the church, the family, but also to the great commission that God has for us. So we have this beautiful story of how God, we lost the privilege of becoming a family, be a part of God's family in the garden. God has made it where he brought us together through Jesus Christ. Now we are the church of a family, and God wants a family. He's always wanted a family. One of the very first things that he tells humans is, I want you to go out and I want you to bring me kids into my life. I want children in my family. And I'm going to give you the privilege of bringing kids into the world so they become a part of my family. And now God still has that beautiful desire that longs for children to be a part of his family. And that's what we're doing as church. That's what we do as when we share the good news of Jesus Christ. We're giving an opportunity, a potential for that person one day to experience a miracle of being a non-believer, lived by a life lived by sin and the world, their lives are broken in so many different places, have no idea about the spiritualness of God's kingdom, and God gives them life, chooses them. Now they become a part of the family. And God wants us to continue to bring people into this family. That's his call for us. He wants more children. He wants more children to be part of the family. And that's why Jesus Christ made it very clear towards just before he left the earth. He says, there's no negotiation. My Father's desire is to have children. My Father's desire is to have more children in the church. And the way that you do this, you go out into the world and you make disciples. And this is where we first found that little phrase that goes, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And this is how we started the sermon series a month ago. That phrase there is very significant, helping us to understand how we are going to go about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in the world. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The name. And we talked about it, and we're just going to go ahead and rehash it, and we're almost done here. So we talked about how that the Trinity is the starting point. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We found out the reason for the Trinity is because we cannot relate to a God, one who creates the universe and who's so far beyond who us. But God says, as you know me, as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as you are intimately involved in this relationship, which you're going to be doing for the rest of your life, you're going to be knowing God through the persons of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Then basically, one thing, it helps you to be able to share that awesome relationship, but also helps you understand God's wonderful plan for this world. So we looked at that, so the Trinity, and so what we did is I want you to take out your bookmark. Okay, take out your bookmark. Ta-da! You know, you'll probably throw it away later on. Some of you might keep it in your book and you go, 10 years later, oh my goodness, look at this, I got my bookmark out. Who knows? But at least it gives something in our hands. So who does not have a bookmark? All right. If not, we'll have... So, George, you don't have a bookmark? Okay, well, someone give him a bookmark. Come on. There we go. We got extras. So look at this bookmark, and you notice, and I want you to know, David created this. I gave him sort of the words and all that. I mean, it looked really boring. David turned around and go, hey, let me give some life to this. And he did this. So let's look at it, and we're going to go line by line. Remember, this is what's been taught to you for the last month. So we looked at the Trinity, and we got to know God intimately by having a personal relationship with the three persons of God. So again, this is a reminder of you how you type, what type of mind frame you have when you're trying to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So the first thing that we learn about is the Father. What was the work of the Father? Knowing the Father. He gives life. He gives life. He created us. We are image bearers. We are made in his image. Beautiful, beautiful reference point or beautiful conversation piece is that we are different than any other creation in this world. We are created with God's image in us, you know, and we can see that very clearly. God wanted a family. That's the next thing on there. And then God gives us freedom because the only way that we can love God is by our free choice. It has to be something we choose to love. God didn't make us robots. God gave us the ability to freely choose to either love God, follow God, or not. So that's a part of God's creative plan. So when we are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, the first thing we talk about that God, the reason why God created us is he wanted a family. And we are differently than we are so different than any other creature that we bear the image of God in our life. He wanted a family and a freedom. But what happened is that freedom, we chose not to follow God. And we are no longer a part of the family. We're out. We're gone. Back, you know, I love the term, we're walking zombies. Clueless about spiritual things. So now he gives life. He loves us. He loves us so dearly, we found this out, he gave his son. See, the mission of Jesus Christ was to bring us back to the family, to make this new family, to be sons and daughters again through the adoption through Jesus Christ. So he loves us so much, he gave us his son. Jesus is the only way, okay, to the Father. You can't go to the Father. You can't get to God without going through Jesus Christ. Okay? He is the way. He is our Savior because he's the only one that can save us. We receive salvation because of Jesus Christ. Then gives longing. Here, let's look at that. He has in our hearts, there is something that's basically a part of our God image that we desire to be a part of God's family again. We want to know God. And through that of adoption, through Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. That is the Father. This is what he does. He gives life, he gives love, and he gives us longing. As well as God has a longing for us, we also have a longing for God. Then the Son is with us. Okay? We need, very important, that's where Christmas is so powerful. Emmanuel. God came to us. He is with us, birthed to Mary. So Jesus Christ comes in the world. God is incarnated. He becomes a brother and a friend. That human relationship, very important, because with a human relationship, we can relate to Jesus Christ. That's why it says that he's able to, he understands everything about it. He sympathizes us because he knows he's been tempted in every way, but without sin. So he's our brother, he is our friend, so God is with us. God is for us, he is for us, is that Christ is for us because his whole goal was to get to the cross. The whole goal was to bleed and die for us. Yeah, what I love is the first miracle that Jesus ever did was at a wedding feast. He turned water into wine. Not because he wanted wine, because he gave us a glimpse of the future. That at the beginning of his ministry, he's in the process of making it a way for us to be a part of the great and wonderful wedding feast in heaven. And he starts with that. All through his ministry, he prepares us for it. He provides a way for that. He bleeds for us on the cross. He dies for us. And then he redeems us. That redemption where we now, the only reason we have any redemption with our Father in heaven that bring back this relationship is because Jesus rose from the dead. That's why Paul says it very clearly. If we don't preach resurrection, if that's not a part of who we are, then we are most foolish of all people in this world. Because the resurrection is the very hinge that helps us to redeem ourselves. Now the Holy Spirit, which is, we have to have this. Now God says, I give you this amazing gift. The Holy Spirit, he fills us. God's presence is with us. We're birthed into the kingdom of God. We are a new creation. He empowers us to live with purpose and to know God. We have purpose because the Holy Spirit reminds us of our purpose every day to be in this presence with God, but also our purpose is to glorify God. And when we glorify God, we are going out into the world making disciples. So when we glorify God, what we're doing, we're showing everybody else that Jesus, God is real in my life. They see this. They are being connected to that. God uses that as a way to bring them into a position where they're going to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. And he transforms us. We grow in maturity and understanding. Wow. The only way that we can grow as Christians is the Holy Spirit. It's the very seed that helps us to grow and transform us from our little baby selves, our little immature selves. And God says, I want you to be mature, so I'm helping you to become mature. And then with understanding. We cannot understand the Trinity. We can understand the kingdom of God. We can't understand anything about the kingdom of God and who God is without the understanding of the Holy Spirit. God gives that to us. So, we're going to end with this, is go and make disciples. That's it. We started with that. So, first of all, be a disciple. But first of all, let me put it this way. You are a disciple. You can't sit back, well, I'm just, you know. No, all of us here, being a part of God's kingdom, being a part of this church, you are a disciple. And God's grace is always helping us to become a stronger disciple. You know, and challenge us to come into worship and read His Word and to live out our faith. That is the work of grace in our lives. But the crazy thing is that God chose you to be a part of His family, chose me. We keep forgetting how powerful that is. You didn't choose God. That's a part of our Reformed faith. That's a part of Christianity. God says, I have predestined you. I've chosen you before the foundations of the world. And what I've done is I've opened your eyes to me by my work through the Spirit. And our purpose is, after saying all of that, hearing the plan of the good news of Jesus Christ, hearing the plan of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And it culminates here in Acts chapter 2. It describes to us this church, this family that He wants, and He continues to build a church from that point on to the very end of time. That church is going to continue to grow, and church is going to continue to add to that. And what happens then is God uses us to go out and plant seed, glorify God, and what that does, it provides opportunities for those people to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. So we have purpose, and God made it very clear, I want more in my family. And I've chosen you, us, me, to be the people that goes to people's lives, make relationships, and God uses us to bring people into the kingdom of God. So we have work. We have purpose. We have a message. And the more that we get to know our God, the greater we can share that with you all. I'm going to share this in ending, only because to really understand the significance of what I'm saying, I share this. My wife is, I think, one of the most amazing people in this world, okay? And I love showing her off. I love having people come. I want you to meet my wife. When she says she's going to pray for you, she will pray for you. If you want a friend, if you want a person to listen to, she will listen to you. She'll do all these great things. And I want others out there to be connected to Cynthia because such a blessing. So at the beginning of my time knowing her back 35 years ago, I knew very little about Cynthia. But through the years of me knowing her intimately, experientially, that my love, my understanding of Cynthia has grown to the point where I love to show and share her with everyone else. The same way God says, as you get to know me and truly experience my grace, my love, my forgiveness, my reconciliation, all the many ways I remind you how amazing you are as a son or daughter, the more you understand that, and the more intimately you're involved with our God in heaven, then what happens is, I want others. I want others to know about God, who is so forgiving, so redeeming, so gracious, so loving. I want others to know about God. It becomes a part of who we are. So God has called us to go. Go into the world and make disciples. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for choosing us. First of all, just choosing us to be your son and daughter. And then putting us right here at First Presbyterian Church, which is a special family that you have connected us to. You called us to this family. There is a reason why we're here. There's a reason why we have fellowship. There's a reason why we have this connection to First Presbyterian Church, because of your sovereign grace in our lives. So we thank you for that. Help us, God. I know it's daunting, but you've given us an idea of how to share the gospel through the Trinity that you've given us. So I just pray, God, that we'll find opportunities and just respond to them. As Philip did, we should respond to the leading of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you in your Son's name. Amen.